the future does not exist.
Morgen.
Goedemorgen.
Hello, dear earlobes. This is The Future Does Not Exist. You know what the podcast's about by now, and if you don't, tough. This is me, Damien Leslie.
And this is me, Richard Foster.
And it's me, Marcel van Schoten.
And we're here again. Yeah. And we want to talk about morning noises in one way or another.
Morning noises.
Maybe someone should elaborate a bit more. Sorry, I'm in a silly mood. I've just cycled in what seemed like it wasn't very cold, but my face is like
it's
burning
freezing
at the moment.
Ah, the deceptive nature of the Dutch spring, early spring.
And I'm still interested in why Richard arrived with a flock of chickens.
I was surrounded by chickens this morning. I literally came in, and I'm not joking, four chickens ran towards me as if I was their lord. And they surrounded me in a circle, looking at me expectantly, as if I was going to lead the revolution, which I will do one day. Have you got
like pockets full of corn seeds?
No, I have nothing. I had nothing on me at all. I mean, I am born under the sign of the rooster.
Do you still smell like fish, like from yesterday?
No fish. The laughter is because I turned up a day early.
You travelled long and far to get here.
I turned up a day early for the podcast, which was a best drawn and veil over. But no, I was surrounded by chickens this morning, and that did actually worry me because they just didn't. They followed me around. It was as if I had the power of attorney over these chickens.
Oh,
I don't know what to do. But anyway, they greeted me in the way that they always greet human
beings.
How
did they greet you?
They clucked a lot. They ran towards me. They looked
Could you like querulously make that noise for us?
Buck, 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 buck. Like that. There you go.
Right.
A bit like that. And then that kind of weird chicken noise that they do. And then that was their greeting to me, their new lord.
Did you greet it back?
I just went, what the fuck is this? And then I thought to myself, actually, if I stand by the door, they might get into the door. So I went outside just to make sure that they didn't go into the building. Mm-hmm. But they just went to the gate and looked at me from the other side of the gate in a line.
So what's the Dutch word for a cluck?
Yeah.
What?
Cluck. So a chicken clucks.
Yeah, clucking. It clucks.
No, that's the name of a chicken. What's the
noise?
What's the noise it makes in Dutch? A rooster.
A rooster does like cuckoo.
In English, it's cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Yeah, right? that's what you think.
But a hen clucks.
I like what the Dutch say about pigs.
That's a cluck.
Ah.
So what's the Dutch word for that?
Because the pigs, This
brings me to one of my favorite conversations I've had multiple times. A friend of mine, Wilsey, lives in Newcastle and he's worked for the university for years.
Right.
And, or at least he used to anyway. And his job was to look after all of the foreign students. So he was like basically make sure that everyone got in, got settled, made some friends and then kind of. So Freshers Week every year, he would get all of the international students together.
Yeah.
Right. And then do like a crawl into town or something. And they go like down Ouseburn. So it was a little bit quiet and just sit and let them all kind of get to know each other. But of course you turn up and they'd be like, three Geordie lads, like Wilsey and his two mates, me and one other. And then a bunch of Chinese, Spanish, Scandinavian, like all kinds of people, all with very limited English, all trying to sit there, all trying to be friends with each other. And everyone's just being all very polite and smiling and no one knows what to do. Yeah. And he came up with this fabulous like idea. And it was basically just doing what we just did. Is like, what's the word in your language for what this animal makes?
Right.
And it's the most hilarious conversation you can have. So you said like Dutch pigs go knor, knor.
Knor, knor, yeah.
I think it's either Norway or Denmark. They go knife, knife. Right. So these pigs are going knife, 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 knife. But my favorite one is apparently all dogs in Spain go wow. So it's like we say like bow wow, right? Or woof, like that. Yeah. But in Spain, it's just wow. But I always imagine they're like really stoned. That's all the Spanish dogs go like, wow.
Didn't we?
Wow.
I think that I remember this in a bulb factory setting as well about the wow.
Well, we did it at Halden once as well, if you remember, around the campfire. Yeah. But it's hilarious. Like some of the noises in other languages make no sense at all. To to in your own language, but they just sound bonkers.
Yeah. Dutch cows go boo, as we all know.
Boo.
Boo. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, you have some experience in the cow business. So what? Yeah. What sound of? What sound of? What's the sound of an English cow?
Hello.
They go, yes, they go hello. For those that are unacquainted with my past, I once was I was just like Damien says. I was at Newcastle University. The thing was, I knew the city quite well, obviously from my family coming from there, and I got bored one week, as was my wont. I decided now gone, sadly, on the Westgate Road, there was a costume shop, so I borrowed a cow costume and hung out on Leeds Moor with the other cows. Just, I don't know, just a bit of spirit of solidarity. Tried to find a friend, you know. And I just like got out of hand a bit because I really got into it. And then the next thing I remember talking to people as he went past, and one poor girl, she must have been tripping because like she was talking to herself and like, I don't know, like waving her arms around, and I just went, hello. And she just pegged it. And
it was late at night.
Yeah. And then the old cows took off because they were interested, and I was trying to keep up with the pack, which is not clever. And then, yeah, I had to go and explain myself to the authorities. Why was I there?
I went to the Forth just a few weeks ago when I was at home in England. And the costume shop that Rich is talking about,
yeah,
is about two or three doors away. It like was on a corner, mm-hmm. And every time I walk past it, I smile just thinking of you dressed as a cow, standing in a field of cows dressed as a cow.
Nothing else to do.
I don't know why it tickles me immensely. And my favourite detail of all of this is when the first time I heard that story, it was even the first night I met you properly. Uh-huh. And you said it, and I was laughing about it. And then you produced from your jacket a receipt.
Oh yeah, the receipt. One going back costume.
To that, I was like, fabulous bits of paper. If you ever die, that's the thing I want.
What the cow receipt?
I don't want anything from. I want the cow receipt.
You don't want the Czech National Fisherman's Club.
No. Don't need anything other than the cow receipt. And it says something like Richard Foster, one cow.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I still got that somewhere.
Oh, my God, brilliant.
Yeah, it was a long week.
there's a whole series of decision making leading up to that I don't care about.
No,
it's
no.
Just the fact that I'm...
God, I hated Lazy's Park. Oh. Anyway, it's just... they should put the new stadium there. Anyway, animal noises and greetings. We were going to talk about Dutch greetings.
Yes.
We've ended up in a park in Newcastle in a cow costume. But if we remember... in the factory, and I mean, it still happens at work, that there's so many ways that Dutch people have such a wide palette of sounds when it comes to greeting or saying goodbye to each other. I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one I
but
was.
But are Dutch more, do they greet more?
They do, yeah.
Or is it, yeah?
And they also say goodbye in a much more extended version than British do. So, and also it's very interesting, the delineation. I'll kick off with one. It's like girls have a particular way of saying, doog or ooh. They make this sort of weird sort of pigeon noise. And then they go doog, doog. And they have these particular ways of doing it. And there's about four or five gradations of that doog noise. It should be dooey, but it isn't.
I think it's definitely a local slang version of it though.
Yeah. Dooey is one.
Because there is definitely a cat-like version of it, as opposed to what most of the people would. And the same with like the morning. And there are like if we take the factories, so in the Boulevard, there would be like three levels of sound basically. So there's there's the very happy, chirpy people, right? Who are like, Goeiemorgen, like dee dee, and it's all really high and like dee, la 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 la. They don't talk like that in any other part of the day, but that's how the thing. And then you've got the guys who like just don't want to talk to anybody, and then that's like really deep, like kind of bass. They'd be like, more. Or when it gets to break, pause.
Yeah.
Like, wow, what was that? And then you've got the rest of like the rest of the world. It was just like, oh, morgen. And it's almost like, oh, I've got to do it, but I can't be asked. Yeah, so there's like a, there's like three different intonations in the, on the thing.
Would you join in? Would you also?
You don't have a choice. You have to.
You don't.
But also, we're English, and you're polite. You kind of respond to what's there.
Good morning.
But yeah, and then what's really weird is you get so used to it when someone doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Oof, yeah, that's really weird.
That's like cold shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
How very dare you? Like, what's the matter with you?
Yeah, there is also the one. I mean, there's all you got to know certain people. You could always go, wait.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or who's it? That was the other one. But I noticed that more outside of the factories than I did in the factories. The factories is very much goedemorgen, morgen.
Did you get the shortened version where it's just more. So for like weeks, it's like, why are they just saying more all the time? Yeah. Like what more?
You used to have
okay more.
Yeah, the morgen one was nice.
Three words you'd hear. Okay. That's a day's worth of conversation.
Was it also only outside of the factory, inside of the factory, or also on your way there? Did you always...
There's a very strange thing in Holland,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't notice it myself. Simon, who we've had on the podcast, he pointed it out to me once.
Yeah.
Like, if you go for a walk on a Saturday, Sunday, which is, let's say, as Dutch a traditional pastime as going to church, like, if you go for a walk in a forest on a Sunday, there will be thousands of people just in couples out for a walk. Mm. And every single one of them will say hello.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Morning, hello, morning, how are you? Blah, 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 blah. And then
there's no relation to those people.
You've never met them. You don't know who they are, but you have to say goodbye. And I remember we were out for a walk, just like my family and Simon's family. And Simon was like, they just never bloody stop. And I was like, what's the matter? He was like, they just say good morning. Who are these people? Like, what's going on? Like, I'd never noticed it.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's very noticeable. And it also depends also which part of the country. I remember being in Brabant once. And this also involved bike couples. Where normally on a bike couple, you don't really have a time to do it. You know, you go past people and everything. But every one of them was like, goedemorgen or goedemorgen. You know, it's like, Brabants, goedemorgen. And it was wild. They both would like turn and smile. I said to Maris, this is bloody exhausting, this. You know what I mean?
That was Simon's point, because I think we'd like wandering through the dunes in the summer, you're sitting alone to like 1,000 people.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. I mean, I have nothing against it. It's just...
No, it's quite pleasant. It's quite nice.
And in your neighbourhood where you live?
Yeah. I mean, but you recognize people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You never had conversations with them, but you're still looking. And what my favorite of that is, we used to go to so many gigs, especially in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have at least 10 or 15 people that even if I see them today, we'll look at each other, we'll go, or acknowledge each other.
Yeah.
And the only place we've ever seen each other is in a gig. We've never spoken.
Mm-hmm.
We've never but it's like, it's a kind of sign of like, yep, you're here. Yep. All right. Fine. Yeah. I find it fascinating, but there is this issue, like about 10 people in Amsterdam that I will see around because they often kind of frequent the same bars before and after. Is that just nod at each other, smile, but never talk?
Yeah, it's very interesting because you're not really, it's not like something that is, you've been teaching, somebody told you like you have to do this, this and this on this, this moment.
No.
But like you said, if you meet somebody in a forest, you say hi. Or on a beach or some very public place. And if it's around your neighborhood, you probably say that, or people that you meet more often. And if you, if I walk through the city, you have the what you did, like the knot, like, I acknowledge that I see you and we know each other.
Yeah.
But then
we don't say hi, but we just say like, all right.
No, there's a certain context. The more almost. The more space you have, the more you have to say.
Yeah.
Like in the city, it's like, we don't have time for this. Just,
But if you don't do it and you meet that same person in a more like, smaller place.
Yeah.
Then you could get complaints if you didn't do it.
Yeah. Or you'll get the cold shoulder. They're like, we don't do that anymore.
Are you okay? Or what's wrong?
Yeah.
I have this actually with my neighbor, upstairs neighbor, right? He probably won't be listening to this. I think he's a bit of a weird fella. He's got his nice, family and everything.
I think we can guarantee he won't listen to this.
And his bike shed is next to my bike shed, the communal bike shed, right? Mm-hmm. And he's got his two little daughters, and his wife's really nice. She's very polite, and she's always saying, "How are you doing?" And he's sort of going, "Hey." And so when he's with his kids and stuff, he's, "Oi, oi, oi." And yeah, who is it? Yeah, goed, yeah, jou, yeah, super, yeah, geniet ervan. You know, the usual.
Yeah.
And then I see him at the train station, right? And he's my fucking neighbour. And he completely blanks me. Yeah. On the perron. I'm thinking, mate, I've just said hello to you, dropping your daughters off. Now, why are you not saying hello to me on the train station?
Ah.
Now, that is interesting. That's an interesting gradation.
But did you already say hi to him earlier that day?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But at the same time, I'm thinking like...
Because it can be too much.
It can't be too much. Yeah. I mean... Yeah.
No, there is an unwritten set of rules that I still haven't figured out. There are people like... There's also what I mean, Jen, call like bus buddies. Mm-hmm. So you get the same bus every day.
Yeah.
Or like maybe you kind of change the time over, but you see the same people on the commute all the time.
Yeah.
And then you see people like, and you turn up every morning, you kind of look at each other and say good morning as you turn up to the bus stand because you're always there.
Yeah.
You get on, you don't talk. Most people have got headphones in or on the phone or whatever. But then if you come back on the afternoon and the same people, like two or three people are on, because usually everyone gets the same bus out, but everyone has different times coming back.
Yeah.
But there's two or three blokes there who will say hello in the morning, but if they're on the same bus stand as me coming home, they don't say a word. And I'm like, why do you say it in the morning, but you don't say it now?
Maybe it's a morning thing.
Ah, there we go. See?
Yeah. It's very interesting.
It's weird because you don't say it in the afternoon.
Yeah, but you say, well, it's weird to say it in the afternoon. Yeah. No, it's like, we've recognized each other again. We should have that recognition.
I think
we
just but you said that already, so what's the point?
Right, we've done that, have we? All right, fair
I
enough.
Think you're just bringing a military salute. I think you're just military salute, people. You've said your thing, you know, good morning.
Have you waved to people?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
I give him the clenched fist of solidarity.
It's just a sign of recognition. That's okay. All it is.
Hey, you're right.
Yeah.
You give him the thumbs up or the high. Oh,
well, I didn't realize I did, but I probably do because that's just the natural. What I did.
You don't stand on the wave your hand like hey.
Put my hand out as if to do.
As if I'm
playing rock, paper, scissors, and I put paper out, and then I quickly flick.
You do the flicking
like,
of the thumb.
Put thumbs up.
Ah.
I didn't realize I did that until this precise moment. I'm learning more about myself as well.
One thing we haven't talked about is the extended goodbye on the telephone, or when you're saying goodbye and it just doesn't end. You know, that, it's, what? Have you heard that? I have this a lot.
No,
actually.
I'm very bad on the phone though.
Where the people just go, oi, 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 oh,
So that's like the old joke for the woman in England. It's like, bye, 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 bye. And like the head's getting closer and closer to the receiver and click.
But why is this, Marcel? Why do people make cow noises at the end of telephone conversations? Or if you're an older lady, you go, dach, dach. I know I like that.
Yeah.
Dach. You know, but Mariska's mum keeps saying it over and over. She goes, dach, dach, dach. And I can hear Mariska on the phone going, dach, 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 dach.
But there's like three or four quick goodbyes in Dutch, usually in shops. And one's totziens.
Totziens,
One's doei. One's dach. And it doesn't matter which. I always feel like I've done the wrong one. Because
I don't think there's a wrong one.
Oh, well, some of the looks I get.
Back, you will definitely have to say tot scenes or
tot volgeer. There's like a whole range of them. Mm-hmm. And if someone says one to you, you will say something back. And I always get a look of like, well, why did you say it? It's always like a strange look on the face. Like, well, what'd you say that for? And I'm like, I just can't seem to get it right.
I think if you still do the high pitch, then the people will be looking weird at you. Like,
yeah, because then you'd be a lady.
No, I don't do much in a high pitch.
I think the whole point of raising your voice to say bye, I'm not sure if you do that
attention to yourself
at your age.
Well, I don't do it.
Okay.
But like, if I say tot zines or whatever they, or whichever it is, I always get a look of like,
why did you do that? I just go, what did that?
It's like that was irrelevant. Stop. Okay.
Yeah. I do like, what did that? Hooded-ach. I have this sort of, you know, like middle-aged, aging man's sort of stentorian appeal, mm-hmm. you know, when I leave a shop. I just give him the hooded-ach. It sounds good. It's quick. It's over. None of this stuff going down. It's just straightforward. Cuts through the nonsense.
Ah, like so Alexander, you don't say goedenavond of...
I say that at the beginning of the night.
Ah, right.
I say goedenavond, goedemiddag. I'm really into this now. I learned this off the master, Jan Hiddink, who's into this kind of stuff.
Okay.
It's very much the polite, simple 1940s radio broadcast kind of voice. Mm-hmm. I like it. This sort of thing. I might even start talking if it's from the 1950s Dutch, because it sounds so nice. Yeah. You know, but like, yeah, I'm still trying to work out how to end a phone call with Dutch people, because it just seem to make more noises at the end than we do. We cross words during the meat of the conversation.
Yeah, I can't remember if I do that myself. I don't
do
think
a bit.
So.
I've heard you do. Yeah. You have a little trilling. Ooh. I've heard it.
Oh, you little croon your way off.
Yeah, it croons off.
Okay.
I'll
pay more attention to that.
There's a lot of stuff we're learning about each other.
That's right.
I like the idea of Marcel just sings his way off every phone call.
I've heard him. I've heard him on the phone. That's because he's an entrepreneur, Damien. Like us.
No.
He's an entrepreneur, and he has to make sure that his clients are well satisfied with his efforts.
Yes.
Whereas we are just here to, you know.
I got
fill space,
but are we in that way more like polite or
than the
British?
No, I think the Dutch. I think what they do is
because we're not known for that.
No, and the English are known for being polite.
But there's two different reasons for it. I think the Dutch do it because they realise that if they were impolite, then it would, you know, in some way tear at the fabric of their society. Yeah. Whereas the English are polite because they always want to please people, and despite them, you know, tearing away at the fabric of their own society. I think people it always reminds me of, like, someone once said to me, I just wanted to please you whilst fucking something up. And I just thought to myself, yeah, it just, the idea of British people wanting to not be offensive to other people.
It's not wanting to offend.
There you go.
Okay.
Interesting. We've gone from pigs, chickens, cow costumes to making noises about how to say hello and goodbye.
And singing of phone calls.
Yeah, singing phone calls. Now, I want to change the subject a bit, actually.
All right.
Very quickly. Do you remember when the Euro came in, right?
Wow, there's a quick proper clunk. Chapter change.
Because I was cleaning out I've been cleaning the house, right? And I found...
For our younger listeners, what era are we talking about?
Oh, the Euro. When the Euro came in, it was 2002. January 2002, if I remember rightly.
Okay.
And what was interesting, I was cleaning out the house, and I found one of those little bags of euro coins that everyone was given at the time. Do you remember the little bags of euro coins?
Yeah. Free money.
It was, well, supposedly so, which was going to be taxed back at alarming rates over the next year and a half, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Apart from the Irish, apparently, who had to pay for this.
All right.
Martin Gibbs, my great friend Martin Gibbs, told me that, the Irish had to pay for their euro coins.
In euros?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was just a weird thing. Or they had to, they swapped them, you know, for whatever Irish punts they had at the time.
Okay.
But it just got me thinking. I was thinking, God almighty, already this stuff is already obsolete, because how many people now use coins like Muntgeld? Because, and the reason I talk about that is the fact that when I first, also going back to animal noises, is that every coin had a nickname when we first came here, you know? Dubbeltje, Tientje, what was the little ones? They also had the little name as well. There's loads of little names for all these coins. Kwart.
Dubbeltje, Kwartje.
Yeah.
Gulden, but that's not really a nickname.
Peak. That was a peak.
A peak, yes. Because that was from the fairs.
Yeah.
You have a piekendag.
Yeah.
Where everybody was, everything was €1.
Crazy, isn't it?
And he had the knack. Because there was a saying that op de markt is je gulden een daalder waard. If you go to the market, one gulden is equal to one knack. So you get always a benefit if you go to the markets.
There you go. Amazing. These things are really interesting. So there are all these nicknames for the old florins, Dutch florins and gulden. Mm-hmm. And then the euro came in, and of course there was no nickname for any of those coins at all. No. And they were very, well, they tried to make them sort of, you know, country specific, didn't they? And I actually remember the Dutch had the football here and they had a little lion on as well for that. All these little things, but it didn't really have the same kind of appeal.
Usually you have the queen on it. Or the queen.
But now it's like these coins are going to get phased out within 10 years. I mean, who's going to have...
Do you know there's already one that disappeared quite early?
The 1 cent?
No.
2 cents?
No.
Tell me.
The 5 euro.
Oh yeah, the 5 euros. You don't see them at all.
A smaller one.
Yeah, yeah.
That was going quite fast.
God, yeah.
The 5 euro coin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally don't think I've ever seen one.
Evil laugh from Marcel.
He's always the five euro. I honestly don't think I've ever held a 5 euro coin.
Oh, I think okay. So. Yeah. Right at the beginning.
And I do find it interesting the Dutch has decided like the 1 and 2 cents. No, we refuse to deal with those. They don't exist. And then you go to like Belgium stuff and end up with these like tiny little coins. You go, well, I might as well just give them away.
I think that's ridiculous. Most of the supermarkets just decided like, we're not going to deal with these anymore.
Yeah. No, we're just going to make just everything.
Put them in a jar and look at them.
Yeah. We're also going to tell you that it costs 99 cents, but we aren't giving you that penny back.
No, we're going to charge you a full euro.
We don't deal with pennies, so we're taking that as well. All right.
That would give you the illusion of a discount.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And they've been really annoying when they charge 98 because, I'm taking 2 cents off you.
And yet, I think there's two supermarkets. I think Lidl and Aldi do give you the cents back in this country because of the German owned. I think Aldi, they used to give you all the cents back and everything still. Yeah. It's absolutely wild. So they have these little interesting little stories about the euro. Mm-hmm. And you have this little pack of coins, which is still unopened. And I'm thinking, when are they going to say, bring all the coins in? Because it can't be long.
Yeah, I don't think that's really going to happen because there's always this group of entrepreneurs who still prefer to have cash.
Yeah, I love cash. It's important. But
if you go to a market or you go to a bike repair shop, they prefer to be paid in cash.
Yeah. There's a lot of...
Or even if you go out to eat somewhere, they don't mind having cash. Yeah.
And I mean... It's obviously a tax thing. everyone's very law abiding over here, but no, I'm sorry. I mean, there are certain cafes and bars and bike shops and things like that that, you know,
there's a certain
level of service that prefers the contant. There must be, there's a few I've seen like in Duivendrecht or Amsterdam or so. I'm like, they're obviously a front for something because you don't have enough footfall to still be alive yet.
Yeah.
And yet you still like, there was like a lunchroom we used to go to in Amsterdam and up until COVID, they refused to have PIN. Just refused.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay. And then now they've had to bite the bullet and stuff, but still it's like, we still prefer you paying cash. Yeah, of course you do. Ching, that one goes straight in the pocket. That one goes.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they keep themselves alive.
Yeah. But,
that's something else that I've noticed has disappeared since, contactless payment is running up a bar bill.
Oh gosh,
when was the last time you ran up a bar bill? Because you were able to run up a bar bill with cash, which I always thought to myself was an infinitely more risky proposition than running up a bar bill with a contactless payment.
I think the whole concept of running up a bar bill has
been outlawed.
At least having a bar bill when you leave
Yeah.
The bar.
Yeah.
You can run up a bar bill while you're inside of the
bar. And pay at the end of the night.
But you used to also could get out and come back the next day.
Monthly. You get paid off monthly.
Yeah. That was another thing. When I first arrived, that's like something that was like manna from heaven. So like, you know, you just arrived. You'd love to go for a beer. You've not got any money. You don't get paid till Friday. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. Run a bar bill. What do you mean run a bar bill? Yeah, you just pay it off at the end of the week. Dun, dun, dun.
Amazing.
And that was brilliant.
But it was amazing.
That always led, like Sundays were it's the best day for drinking because everyone's just like, we'll just have one or two at lunch.
Yeah.
But if you get on a thirst or if people start arriving, then it just turns into crazy time. And then it gets to like mid afternoon on a Sunday. And there's a point that you've already gone past the point I should be at home, like having my dinner, getting ready. But no, then you're off. But if you had a bar bill and you were doing that on a Sunday, like you could run up like a week's worth of beer on that day. Cause you just in like silly mode and you can see the barman just going,
do you know what? I had a friend who was able, he transcribed the words to, if I was carpenter, if I had a bar bill, baby. I can't remember the rest of it. It was absolute genius. But it was, the opening line was, if I had a bar bill, baby. It was, and it went on and I won't drink till Sunday or something. Oh, I don't know. But that always sticks in my mind. And the bar bills were always the best. They were always like great boozes and you could sit in them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Vevey used to do it in Leiden. But that all stopped. And I'm just trying to work out why, you know, because I'm such a conspiracy theorist and I believe in all of it.
Yeah.
You know, there were Hillary Clinton was sitting on pizzas and it's definitely true. So there's what's interesting about that is like, there's a convergence between the euro and contactless payment and bar bills. And I'm trying to work out what it was, man.
Nah, there's also another reason, because people didn't pay anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't pay.
There was a certain look a barman would get. There was two in Hillegom. They would love Fridays because everyone got paid on a Friday.
Yeah.
And as soon as you walked in on a Friday, it was, hey, what can I get? Shitting. And here's this sheet of paper. And there'd be like next to the till, there'd be this like massive draw of like white sheets. And they'd be like, and they'd be like, oh, Damien, you've got two. And it was like, oh, that means I filled one. And how much is this? And then you pay and like, can I start another bill, please?
Yeah, it became endless credit. It became
it's like, oh, dear.
The bank
like,
pub.
Got to get out of this habit.
Oh, it was something else. I mean, it also goes back to the idea of pubs being open until the last person left. Which again is something it's a sort of custom that I used to love about this country, but now there's very few places where that stay open until you stagger out at 4 a.m. and the postman comes in. You know what I mean?
I think it's also more connected to the people working there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally changed.
Your fate is determined by the bar person.
Yeah. 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 Interesting.
And if the bar person decides like, okay, dudes, it's time to go, then it's time to go.
Yeah. So much has changed. It is crazy. Let's talk about the euro.
When the euro came in, like, it made life so much easier. Like, in a number of ways. One of the things, especially for what we like, we used to travel around quite a lot, to go to different countries, mainly to go to gigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The great thing of living in Holland is you can jump on a train in a couple of hours, you're in Belgium or you're in like Luxembourg or you're in Germany or wherever.
Mm. Yeah.
But when you first came over, I said, you would have to if you did like a tour of like Europe, you'd end up with like 5 currencies in your pocket.
This is true.
And it's just a mess. And you know, you're getting swindled on every single deal, like to get money because you have to pay to get that money. And that was always a nightmare. And I remember there was one year, I think it was 2001. So it was just before the euro came in, and I went to see Neil Young and Crazy Horse in Oberhausen in Germany. Okay. And there was a friend came over from England and then two other friends from Hillegom. And the four of us went down on the train And of course, it was a Saturday night, so we were all delighted. So we'd all got paid on the Friday. So you've got like your week's wage in your pocket. You're minted. It's like, yeah, we're going to go to Germany. You've got a great gig tomorrow night. So we get the train over to Germany. And then this was like another thing that completely bewildered me. But there was a time where Germany closed on a Saturday, like after 12, everything shut.
Yeah.
So you arrived and it was like, okay, let's go and get some money. No, you can't. Yeah. What do you mean? Everything's closed. But what do you mean everything's closed? Well, there isn't a shop open. There isn't like everything was shut. So I was like, well, where can we get some money? Like, is there an exchange thing? And they pointed us to the police. So we had to go to the police, and in my best broken English, a German had to persuade the police officer to basically exchange 100 Deutschmarks worth of guilders to him. Mm-hmm. And his recommendation for us was to get the train back to Holland to change some money to then come back to Germany for the day, because it's Saturday and it's closed. And I was like, what? Unbeknownst to us, there was the Centro, the big shopping mall out near where the gig was that was open, but the center of town and the old town. Nope, everything was closed. And I still can't get my head around why a Saturday afternoon would be closed in a city. Like, I'd still, what? So anyway, we went out to where the gig was, and it's this big, like I say, big, massive shopping mall. There's a theme park there. There's this big stadium. And we had 100 Deutschmarks between four of us. So there was a massive, like, Brauhaus, like, but it was an Irish pub, like in the middle of this like theme park place.
Yeah.
So we went in, we had enough to get like two pints each. And then when we got into the venue, it was Gordon's money that did it, and he had enough to buy himself a t-shirt. Right. And then we watched the gig was sensational, but then we came out and we had no money to spend at all. Right. We're all loaded. We're all got like shitloads of money in our pockets and absolutely nothing we could do about it. But because of that, we didn't have anywhere to stay. So thankfully it was like the end of June and it was red hot. So we went back to the Irish bar.
Yeah.
Gordon and I got a pint each and we shared half of that. So we had like two pints between four of us and we slept. We didn't really sleep, but we kind of lay on the grass verge next to this little fake canal outside of this Irish bar, listening to Europop nightclubs blasting out stuff till like 5 a.m. At which point we got up from the grass verge, got the first train back to Holland, got to Amsterdam about 8:30, at which point we were like kings, and then went on a complete bender on the Sunday in Amsterdam. Because it was like, yep, we've got money to spend now. But what we were literally trapped. We couldn't exchange money at all.
It's wild.
It was
really good to have that, the euro being there.
I'm curious about one thing.
Yeah,
did you also do the exchange in your head?
Yeah,
everything.
Yes.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yes,
because that in Holland that really was a thing for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good. It was good at it. I mean, we still do it for pounds and euros, you know. So that was also something that would still play in your mind. I mean, it still plays in your mind because like when you get your pension, you know, eventually, I'm hoping the pound's quite strong, So there's that. It was definitely something that we would play with in our heads. So also the Deutschmark. And also like the other one that always used to get me was the Belgian franc, because it always felt like you had a million quid in your pocket, even though it was like about 30 pence.
Yeah.
And
you just couldn't seem to spend it. It seemed like Belgium for a while seemed like the cheapest place on the planet.
Yeah. It was amazing.
And then Germany wasn't so much, but the reason I think that kind of calculation happened so much in Holland, because as soon as that euro came in, everything was like double the price.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Instantly.
It was. And it was ridiculous.
I mean, that really affronted every single Dutch person, like on every level, because you would get a beer and they would go, that's six guilders.
Yeah, no, I remember that. That was for about a year. That was the absolute classic moan, wasn't it? Like, people were reckoning stuff in guilders, and they were
like, they just changed the sign in front of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was the thing, wasn't it?
Because it's digital almost currency. Doubled overnight. Yeah. But then you would go to Germany or you'd go to Belgium and you'd realize how expensive Holland was.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, wow, it's so cheap here. Like, how is it that cheap?
Oh, it's insane. I mean, the country, wildly enough, me and Mariska, when the euro came in, we ended up going on holiday to countries that didn't have the euro. Mm. So we went to Hungary, Norway, Denmark. I can't remember. It was like a case of just going to places that had, you know, didn't have the euro. And I remember going to Norway about 2003 and a beer. Now you talk about expensive, bloody hell. A beer cost six euros back then. And God knows what it costs now. I remember the only thing we could eat, cause luckily I was staying there with friends of our family, but the only thing we could eat was like a bag of prawns on Oslo's, on the docks, because they just literally pull them out of their thing and you just, you know, shell them. And that was the cheapest thing you could eat. Yeah. And it was just wild. But I think it was like, the thing was the euro, going back to the idea of it being really expensive, I remember all these conspiracy theories at the time, people just saying they've hidden all the money in the dunes. Did you ever hear that one? That was going around the factory. There's a couple of lads going around the factory going, no, it's going to go wrong. And they've put the reserves in the dunes, just like they hid the Rembrandt paintings in the dunes in the Second World War.
Yes.
That they put the money in the dunes.
Yeah, all the guilders were locked in a...
Yeah, so sort of big vaults. Yeah, because you
under
know
the house to down or something.
They were using all the sort of old German fortifications to keep the money safe and all this. Ah. And I remember that. I remember people just going, this is a stealth tax. This is, you know, I think that's actually where the whole conspiracy stuff started, really, with the euro. You know, one strand of it. Mm-hmm. It's such a useful story to pin your conspiracy on, wasn't it? The idea that this is the big takeover, you know, and it's just basically a currency change, you know, and it's like, it's happened so many times before. Yeah. In fact, actually, all we're doing is going back to Roman times with the denarius, aren't we, you know, having a Europe-wide currency.
Oh, it's so much easier to travel around and not have to worry about what coin should I be using? What's this? What's that?
What do I need to do with these coins when I go back?
Oh, and I have so many Danish kroner.
For years, I was very much like, I always liked having cash in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was like,
it's nice.
I would make this thing as that's how much I'm prepared to spend today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you would go. And then when I've got near the end of that, that's okay. It's time to go. Like, I kind of used it as a kind of a self kind of preservation technique. Okay. This is what I'm going to use today. Like that. And now we're contacted. Now you have no idea. Then you read back the next day and you go, wow. Okay. Like
that's to me, I think that's, a real worry in the way that people think, not because of what currency, but the idea that you don't actually have any idea of what you're spending. Yeah, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Another one. Us old farts.
Listen, we're going to leave it at that. We're going to speak to you very soon. But I think today we've travelled the world from chickens, pig noises.
Knife.
Conspiracy theories about the euro.
Wow.
And what dogs say in Spain.
I think there's only one way to end this, though. Marcel's got to do his...
Oh, yeah.
He's got to sing us off.
Yeah, got to sing us off. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, but I don't know what... I'm not really sure what I do.
You go... go on, Marcel. You can do it.
I don't know.
You're talking to your mom on the phone.
And I'm not sure what I do. It's so confusing.
All right. Well, it's
confusing.
It's okay. Marcel, we'll see you later. Okay. Call you later. Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Let's do another one.